Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. It's all quiet on the Western fronts. Joe Biden is quarantining in place while President Trump is surging in the polls and just took the lead in Pennsylvania. This program is brought to you by those of you that support us at charliekirk.com/support. charliekirk.com/support is where you can pitch in $10, $50, $100, maybe even $200 to help our program reach millions of more young people. If you feel that young people are not getting the truth in education, this program circumvents all of the liberal indoctrination with facts told correctly, calmly, and directly for young people, students across the country. charliekirk.com/support. President Trump is surging. Joe Biden is quarantining in place. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
I want to tell you guys about Good Ranchers. It's amazing. Connor here, Charlie Kirk Show. He is raving about Good Ranchers. He says the marbled meats, the texture, the flavor, the depth, the juiciness. He has not stopped talking about Good Ranchers meat. We've been talking about it. We said, okay, give us some of that Good Ranchers meat. Boom! 10 out of 10. That's right. He's smiling. It's true. Go to goodranchers.com right now. And they began with the standard of bringing top quality meat. That's what they're all about. T-bones, fillets, chicken, you name it. If you're responsible for dinner, it's goodranchers.com. Tell them our show sent you. Even better, if you need a T-bone right now, promo code Charlie, goodranchers.com. Get the meat you need. Juicy, sizzle it. Mouth-watering, titillating, awesome meat. Goodranchers.com, promo code Charlie. So we kind of look at the landscape now as we are entering the final full week of the campaign. This is the final full week before an election. And for those of you that have grown exhausted, the campaign ads, the mailers, the yard signs, it is all coming to an end. We hope. It's very quiet right now. It's all quiet on the Western front, as some people would say. And President Donald Trump is completely monopolizing the airwaves and the narrative. I go to foxnews.com right now and I see a ad right here for Joe Biden. I then see an ad not for Donald Trump, but Trump talking uninterrupted on the Fox News feed. So Joe Biden is spending massive amounts of money trying to buy television advertising, trying to get himself on television. Yet within the same moment in time, President Donald Trump buys hundreds of millions of dollars in ads by just doing events. Donald Trump did a full schedule of events this last weekend. President Trump was in Ohio. He was in New Hampshire. He was in Florida. He was in Wisconsin. He was in Bangor, Maine. And today, President Trump is doing three events in Pennsylvania. No one will outwork President Trump. I think we knew that. But what I don't think we knew that I am trying to unpack here this hour is, why is Joe Biden doing nothing? Now, it'd be one thing to kind of do a Joe Biden event where you have six people in circles and you kind of just have a conversation. The networks would still carry that, by the way. There's a couple explanations for this. But I'll just first admit, it's very bizarre. It's bizarre that Senator Harris and Joe Biden, 8 days out from the election, are choosing not to be visible. So typically in a presidential race, or any race, you try to get in front of the cameras and get in front of as many people as possible. I just spoke at a great event in Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's packed. People were on the grounds. People were on the ground. They're coming out of the windows. And they said they do an event on the beach every single year where all the elected officials that want to get elected, they come to their event because there's 20,000 people there. And the pastor, Pastor Joe, said something so obvious. He said, they're all there because they want to get in front of all the people to get elected. I said, of course they do. And I thought to myself, a couple days later, and I thought to myself today, Why isn't Joe Biden doing that? Why isn't Joe Biden just taking the free and earned media so that he can get in front of people? I mean, it's one thing to call a lid after the debate. Maybe he needs a full day to heal. Maybe he needs a full day to recuperate. Maybe he needs a weekend to recuperate. But full days of doing nothing? Something's not right here. So there's a couple explanations here. If we are trying to go to Joe Biden campaign headquarters, let's try to put ourselves in his position. Let's try to put ourselves in what the discussions they are having. There are three possible explanations to this. Number one, the Joe Biden campaign believes through internal and public polling and their cash advantage that they have such an exorbitant lead that all they could possibly do at this moment is make it worse. That they're going to shelter in place. They will not answer questions. They will keep to themselves. They will not try to go public. They are going to let their multi-billion dollar cash advantage through all the outside groups and their own campaign try to get them to election day. That they have such a lead that there is nothing they could possibly do to contribute. That in fact, they might be of the belief that the more the American people see them, the more their numbers will go down. That might be one explanation. A second explanation is that Joe Biden literally cannot campaign. That whatever they injected him with last week, there was enough of that. They don't want to overexpose him. And he actually is not capable of campaigning. The third explanation is this. Is that any exposure that Joe Biden would have right now would mean that the media would have access to him. And they'd be able to ask him about Hunter Biden in the laptop. The Federal Bureau of Investigation interviewing Tony Bobulinski, which, by the way, should be headline news on every newspaper across the country. And the fact that it isn't is a dark day for democracy. It really is. Because there was more media coverage focused on Ivanka Trump's son allegedly not making a Lego castle after the RNC speech than on whether or not Hunter Biden sold out our country to China. Why is it that we sent 15 FBI agents to go investigate Bubba Wallace, the NASCAR driver? 15 FBI agents to go investigate that. We conclude that it wasn't a noose. Yet we can't send 15 FBI agents to go interview Hunter Biden. So I think Joe Biden is stuck in a very difficult position here. And if I were to put myself in his position, I would argue that Joe Biden feels as if he's in a catch-22 position. He goes public, it exposes himself, and he could plummet in the polls. He stays in hiding. It gives Donald Trump an opportunity for an uninterrupted surge. And that's exactly where we are right now in the state of the race. It's bizarrely quiet. I have a prediction. The media in the next 72 hours is going to try to cook up some story based on race, based on allegations, to try to put Trump on defense. They see what's happening here. When the president is doing three events a day, uninterrupted, President Trump is not taking questions from the pool. He is just blitzing the country. He's on message. And right now, for example, on FoxNews.com, he doesn't have to buy the advertising, which costs hundreds of thousands of dollars per minute. He just speaks. So what cash, who cares if Joe Biden has the cash advantage? And this is what doesn't always get talked about. When President Trump goes to small towns in Pennsylvania, for example, he's going to Allentown today. He's going to a town I've never heard of, which is called Lillits, Pennsylvania. All of the local newspapers, all of the local radio will air his speech uninterrupted as he says it. They're just honored to have him in their town. And that stuff is more respected and widely read than CNN. One of the things that the Democrat political consultant class get wrong so often is that the way that these little towns operate is first on the local school bulletin, the local newspaper, the local radio guy. What's the guy at the deli saying? They care much less about what CNN says. Who cares if CNN is not covering these rallies? But President Trump doing three events in Pennsylvania, I just wonder why Joe Biden isn't doing one. And I think it's because he's in a position. If he does, he gets hurt. And if he doesn't, he gets hurt. So he's playing it safe. We know in politics, when you try to play it safe, you usually lose. The only reason you would play it safe is if you're in a state like Delaware or Massachusetts and your lead is up by 35 points, then you would quarantine to victory. But that is not the state of the race. And if Joe Biden has convinced himself that he truly has a 6-point structural lead, then he's looking at data that I'm not looking at, and he's communicating to a population that I do not think exists. I was just talking to normal suburban voters. They weren't MAGA hat wearing people. They weren't 5-hour a day political consuming patriots. They were just normal voters that could be swing voters, but they were on board for President Trump because in just the Dallas area, oil and natural gas contributes over $80 million in tax revenue to Dallas County alone. Better schools, better bridges, better community centers. And Joe Biden, I think, learned a lesson in the debate against Donald Trump. That talking is hard. That communicating actually might put his campaign in jeopardy. I look at the publicly available schedule for President Trump, and it would be difficult for any human being, let alone a man in his mid-70s who just overcame the Chinese coronavirus, to blitz the country in 30-degree weather, in hailstorms. He's up in Bangor, Maine. Love Bangor, Maine, one of my favorite places on the planet. President Donald Trump has committed himself to one thing in the next week. You might outsmear me. You might outspend me. But you will not outwork me. And I think he'll be richly rewarded for that. I do. I think that campaigns have changed in so many different ways, where people get text messages and you have peer-to-peer text messaging and digital ads and all these different tools in the toolkit. But President Trump and his focus on in-person rallies is still the most effective way to persuade voters and get out the vote. What is the Democrat narrative right now? And I think President Trump actually captured the Democrat narrative perfectly. He said it over the weekend in his final event in Wisconsin, where we are right now doing this broadcast, where President Trump said, and Joe Biden said that we're going to have a dark winter. What a terrible message. Perfect capture there, Mr. President. It is a dark message. People rarely go out of their way to go vote for darkness. Oh, thanks, Joe Biden. You're trying to sell misery to the American people. And Joe Biden was asked some questions this weekend. You see, when Joe Biden speaks, doesn't always go well. He confused President Trump with George Bush. But most importantly, he snapped at a reporter asking about Hunter's laptop and emails, and then pivots to Trump not having a plan. This is cut 6. Let's see if we can get cut 6 of Joe Biden snapping out at a reporter. Play tape.
Mr. Biden, if I can,
sure.
Questions of controversy continue today about Hunter Biden, your son's...
There is no controversy about my son. It's all a lie. It's a flat lie because the president has nothing else to run on. If you notice, while American people are talking about what's happening to their families, he has no plan. In the debate, he has no plan. And because he doesn't want to talk about how manufacturing has gone into recession, how our economy's in a hole, how we're approaching a bleak winter.
That's his message. Things are awful, so vote for me, and I guess we'll make them better. I mean, he has no concrete examples of that. But there is a growing criminal scandal around Joe Biden specifically and his son. This is something that should be frontline news, and I think Joe Biden doesn't want to take more questions like that. Do you notice how Joe Biden, Hunter Biden still, considering some of, let's just say, the more graphic revelations that have come out against Hunter Biden with this laptop, and I'll just leave it at that, that they still haven't denied the authenticity of the laptop? So they started by saying this is Russian disinformation. They got 50 former intelligence officers who blatantly aligned with a lie, saying that this laptop was another tool of the Russian disinformation artists. And yet Joe Biden and Hunter Biden have yet to deny any of the authenticity of the material on the laptop, which goes to show that Joe Biden is a subcontractor. He's a 990 employee of the Chinese Communist Party. He is a wholly owned subsidiary of Xi Jinping. So Joe Biden is making a decision. His decision right now, and to be honest with you, if I was in the internal meetings for Joe Biden, I can see how they reached this decision. I can see how they want to just run out the clock, how they just want to hope Donald Trump will have a misstep, the media will provide cover fire, we'll get our people out there, the outside groups will try to enthuse people, and then we'll win. But it's not that simple. In our fast-paced world, it's time to make reading a priority. At least it used to be. A new app called Thinker, you guys have heard me talk about it, thinker.org/Charlie, T-H-I-N-K-R, has solved that problem by summarizing the key ideas from new and noteworthy fiction, giving you access to an entire library of great books in bite-sized form. Read or listen to hundreds of titles in a matter of minutes, including old classics like Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. If you want to challenge your become a better thinker, go to thinker.org/Charlie. That's thinkr.org/Charlie to start an extended free trial and put your mind in motion. So I'm looking at donaldjtrump.com/events, and I have Donald J. Trump delivers remarks in Allentown. Donald J. Trump talks in Lillitz, Pennsylvania. Donald Trump Jr., Youngstown, Ohio. Second Lady Karen Pence in New Hill, North Carolina. Donald J. Trump again in Pennsylvania. Donald J. Trump again in Pennsylvania, Martinsburg, Pennsylvania. Donald Trump Jr. in Washington, Michigan. And then Eric Trump in Phoenix. Eric Trump again in Phoenix. Mike Pence in Greensboro, North Carolina. I go to Joe Biden's website. No events. So as we have been unpacking, there's only a couple explanations for this. The first of which could be that Joe Biden believes that he has such an insurmountable lead that anything he does will just contribute to Donald Trump's surge right now. And if I were to be in the internal meetings of the Joe Biden campaign, I can see how they came to this decision. Let's just run ads. We'll do peer-to-peer text messaging. We'll get our volunteers and staffers out there. There's nothing, Joe, that you can do that will actually excite people. The more you actually talk, you end up getting into problems. Just quarantine to victory. Where President Trump is taking the more traditional approach, I'm going to do as many events as possible till Election Day. I remember watching President Barack Obama campaign in 2008 and 2012. He outworked Mitt Romney. He did 3-4 events a day. I remember an event he did at University of Wisconsin-Madison, and we are doing this show right from Wisconsin, where he had 40, 50, 60,000 people show up for him. Joe Biden's doing none of that. And he cites virus concerns, but that doesn't mean he can't do his typical rally where he has 6 people in chairs, socially distanced. The networks should pick up those events. So Kamala Harris was asked a question from Nora O'Donnell. Let's go to cut 7 of Kamala Harris bursting out laughing when asked if she represents a socialist or progressive perspective. Play tape.
What I will do, and I promise you this, and this is what Joe wants me to do, this was part of our deal. I will always share with him my lived experience as it relates to any issue that we confront. And I promised Joe that I will give him that perspective and always be honest with him.
And is that a socialist or progressive perspective?
No.
Yeah. Well, I think we all know exactly where Kamala Harris comes from. And her self-deprecating laugh there, I think, is actually very, very telling. Now, look, Senator Harris will actually be running our government if Joe Biden gets elected as president of the United States. Despite all of the attacks launched at Joe Biden in the last couple of weeks, Joe Biden's favorables, they remain basically unchanged. And this just kind of goes to the guiding premise and thesis that we've been talking about the last week and a half here, which is that President Trump needs to connect the Joe Biden scandal directly with Kamala Harris, saying that she will be in charge. She will be running the government. Senator Kamala Harris is a California Marxist radical. And I'm driving through rural Wisconsin. I see these people with these Joe Biden signs. And I say, if they only realized who would actually be in control if Joe Biden were to win, it is the most liberal senator in America, Kamala Harris, who ran the California Attorney General's office and targeted people of faith, targeted pro-life groups. That's who will be in charge of your government if Joe Biden were to win. And so the Joe Biden campaign is probably so convinced by their polling lead that they have decided to suspend almost all campaigning. And in another perplexing turn of events, Kamala Harris is going to Texas this week. And so if I were to kind of read between the lines here, the Joe Biden campaign truly does believe that they're going to win. The only reason why Kamala Harris would go to Texas is trying to expand the electoral map so dramatically that they want a landslide and they think they're going to get it. Joe Biden has done no campaign events at all in the final 8 days, has none planned. He has one actually to go to Georgia. No other details besides that. Maybe he's trying to help Senate candidates in Georgia. But I think what we're looking at is two completely different perspectives of how we view data. The Joe Biden campaign has truly convinced themselves that they need to start measuring the curtains in the Oval Office, similar to what Hillary Clinton did, where she decided not to visit Wisconsin, Michigan, or Pennsylvania up until the very end of the campaign. And obviously, a lot of this is conjecture, and a lot of this is just guessing. But that's exactly what a campaign is supposed to do. They're supposed to internalize data, make decisions around it, and then decide whether or not they're going to campaign, what advertisement they're supposed to do. The greatest asset that a campaign has is typically, in normal circumstances, a candidate's time. It's supposed to be where the candidate can visit, do interviews. In a regular campaign, you want your candidate in front of people. This is the first campaign in the history of the planet. You don't want your candidate in front of people. You don't want him to do interviews. You don't want people to see him. So it's either that they believe that there will be a surge of voters to vote out Donald Trump, the likes of which we've never seen before, or that Joe Biden could only harm the current trajectory. There's a great story by Sean Trend, who's on staff at Real Clear Politics. He says, no, really, don't pay attention to early voting data. It's very thorough because there was an article this weekend in Politico that said it's a fire alarm or a warning flare. New swing state data shows massive Democrat early voting lead. And you look into it, it's done by a Bloomberg data company, which very well might be, there might be some truth to it. But let's just look at the data as it is today. People say, well, Democrats are showing up in record numbers in states like North Carolina. So in North Carolina, for example, it shows that, well, Democrats have a 10.5 percentage point lead in North Carolina. But what it doesn't say is that in 2016, Democrats had a 13.1 percentage point lead in early voting at the very same time. They say that blacks are showing up in record numbers. Well, that's not true either. In 2016, blacks were 22% of the early electorate. Right now, they're 20.5% of the early electorate. We also don't know how independents are voting. We don't know how people that are non-party affiliation are voting in states like Florida. And most importantly, we don't know how many Democrats are still voting for Donald Trump. They might be registered Democrats voting for Trump. And here's a good question for you. Do you think there are more Republicans voting for Biden or Democrats voting for Trump? It's not even close. I'm sure there's some Republicans out there that are defecting against Trump because they've been convinced that his style is so terrible that we must then destroy the country. However, if you look at Donald Trump's approval rating in the Republican Party, it's plus 96%. Donald Trump had the most decisive primary of any candidate ever in a primary election. Most amount of people showing up to support him in a primary. So I find it very hard to believe that President Donald Trump is not having a massive amount of support with primary voters. I find that very hard to believe, especially with Republican voters. And so unless Joe Biden is seeing something that we are all missing, and maybe he is, I think Joe Biden is of the opinion that public appearances and public speeches will only further jeopardize his campaign. And there's a series of new polls that show Donald Trump up 3 points in Florida. The Trafalgar Group, it shows Donald Trump up 2 points in Michigan. Donald Trump up 2 points in Florida. Donald Trump up 3 points in Arizona and 2 points in North Carolina. If all of that is true, Donald Trump will soar to victory. And mind you, if you go deeper into the data, Republicans are doing historically well with early voting. And one of the things that frustrates me the most with early voting, you don't get extra points if you vote early. Your vote doesn't count more. It counts the same on election day that you vote early, absentee, or in person. The only thing that it does is it narrows the amount of voters that you have to actually drive out to the polls. The fact that Republicans are doing as well as we are doing in early voting, with the amount of understandable skepticism that Republican voters have towards fraud and towards the nonsense of the ballot issue, should really worry Democrats, not Republicans. But understand, these next 8 days, you are going to see a steady build of Trump's closing message. The number one issue for voters heading into the election, according to every single poll, is the economy. The number one issue. President Trump is 60%+ better on the economy than Joe Biden. 60% of voters believe Donald Trump is much better equipped to handle the economy than Joe Biden. And so many of the people that will be voicing support for Joe Biden will be doing it simply on style or radical left-wing ideas and values and issues. This race right now is a dead heat. And Donald Trump has been given a gift. Typically, when Donald Trump does these events, like in 2016, I mean, you could say whatever you want about Hillary Clinton. She was campaigning in bizarro places. She was still campaigning. She wasn't campaigning in Wisconsin and Michigan, but she was, you would have Donald Trump do a rally, Hillary Clinton do a rally. Donald, and it was kind of equal airtime. Now you have Donald Trump do a rally and Joe Biden do an advertisement. And who is actually going to better than equip the grassroots and the swing voters to be compelled to vote for you? A candidate who does not even pop his head out and just says, is the election over yet? Or someone who's actually blitzing a campaign trail. In close elections, the candidate who does more appearances, who does more interviews, almost always wins. That stuff doesn't matter if it's a 12 or 15 point race. This is a 2 or 3 point race. Also, Republicans won the voter registration battle in the key battleground states. Republicans have more enthusiasm than the Democrats. And yet Joe Biden remains quarantined in place. Let's play tape right here of Fox News reporting that there were more Trump supporters at a Biden campaign event on Sunday. Play cut 9.
But 10 days out from Election Day, this is the scene that Biden saw leaving his event here in Bristol, Pennsylvania. More Trump supporters showed up outside Biden's invite-only event than Biden supporters did. But those Trump supporters got under Biden's skin today. He could hear them honking and chanting over a microphone outside. So he gave them a new nickname while pitching himself as a president for all.
We don't do things like those chumps out there with a microphone are doing, the Trump guys.
Calls them chumps. We'll go nicely next to deplorables. It's impossible to predict exactly what's going to happen. But if the laws of nature are still intact, the candidate who actually campaigns and communicates to human beings in a presidential race should be reelected. It should be probably a necessary prerequisite to become president, to actually speak to the American people and try to persuade them to give you power. Look, this holiday season, more people will be mailing stuff than ever before. They're mailing things all over the place. That means the post office is going to be busy. It's going to be a circus. You don't have time for that. Stamps.com brings the post office right to your computer. Mail and ship anything from the convenience of your home or office. With Stamps.com, anything you can do at the post office, you can do in just a few clicks. Plus, Stamps.com saves you money with deep discounts that you can't get at the post office. Stamps.com brings the services of the U.S. Post Office and the UPS right to your computer. Stamps.com is a must-have for business. Whether you're a small office and sending out invoices or an online seller fulfilling orders, go to stamps.com. It's stamps.com. You get 5 cents off every first class stamp and 40% off priority mail and 62% off UPS shipping rates. There's no risk with my promo code KIRK, K-I-R-K. You get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and digital scale. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in KIRK. That's stamps.com. Enter KIRK. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. Chelsea Handler, a unapologetic racist, decided that it's not okay that 50 Cent, I guess they previously dated, I never knew that, 50 Cent came out in support of President Trump in a very kind of clumsy way. He said, I don't care that President Trump hates black people. This tax policy for Biden is insane. And then Chelsea Handler, who would have been a phenomenal KKK member, said the following. Play cut three.
So he doesn't want to pay 62% of taxes because he doesn't want to go from being 50 cents to 20 cents. And I had to remind him that he was a black person, so he can't vote for Donald Trump, and that he shouldn't be influencing an entire swath of people who may listen to him.
She would have been a phenomenal Klan leader. I have to remind people that he's black. You have to understand, the left does not view anyone to be their identity if you're a black person, if you're not a leftist. They believe that black and leftism are intertwined, that you lose who you actually are if you dare embrace President Trump. Meanwhile, who's actually the racist? Is it Chelsea Handler, who says, I have to remind him he's a black person so he can't vote for Donald Trump? You can't do that. Me and my white liberal friends are telling you, stupid black person, that you can't do that. That's what she's saying. Same when Joe Biden said, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. Who's the one actually trying to control black America? President Trump saying, please vote for me? President Trump saying, I'm going to give HBCU funding, record low black unemployment, record low poverty rate, First Step Act. And he just says, please vote for me. I've done more for the black community since Abraham Lincoln. Fact check, true. Who's the racist? President Trump asking for the vote, or Chelsea Handler saying, I'm going to go after you, 50 Cent. Chelsea Handler offered very inappropriate things to try to get 50 Cent to vote properly, including paying his taxes. I don't think Chelsea Handler can afford 50 Cent's taxes. However, maybe 50 Cent was making a really good point. Maybe aspirational and successful black people don't want to pay 62% of taxes under Joe Biden's America. But Chelsea Handler has no tolerance for independent, free-thinking black people. For Chelsea Handler, she just wants black people that do what they're told. She wants black people to shut down and sit down and shut up. Chelsea Handler wants an America where black people don't actually think critically about how Joe Biden is a proven racist. Maybe that's why Chelsea Handler and Joe Biden get along so well. And I don't throw around these words lightly. I don't. I'm not a leftist. But when someone actually believes that I had to remind him that he's a black person so he can't vote for Donald Trump, what's really going on here? What's really going on here is that the Democrats know they actually might be losing their grip on the black community. I believe that if we Republicans and conservatives do our job, we can win 50% of the black vote in the next decade. I really believe that. School choice, safer streets, rebuilding the family, entrepreneurialism, investing in capital markets to make it easier for black entrepreneurs. I also want to get to the Van Jones clip. Let's go to cut one of Van Jones talking about all the good things that Trump has done for the black community. Cut one.
Donald Trump, and I get beat up by liberals every time I say this, I'm going to keep saying it. He has done good stuff for the black community, or opportunity zone stuff, black college stuff. I work with him on criminal justice stuff. I saw Donald Trump have African-American people formerly incarcerated in the White House, embraced them, treated them well. There's a side to Donald Trump that I think he does not get enough credit for.
I'm going to be honest. When I saw Van Jones at the Prison Reform Summit, I was a skeptic. But I trusted the wisdom of the president, of Jared and Ivanka. And the fact that Van Jones is now 8 days out from an election saying something positive about the president, I have respect for that. I do. Van Jones is basically a green energy communist. I'm not going to go after his intentions, but he is saying something positive about the president. Hey, Chelsea Handler, is Van Jones black? 50 Cent lost his blackness because he said something good about the president. There is a deluge that is coming against the Democrat Party of a black rebellion. And people like Candace Owens and Brandon Tatum and Terrence Williams and Rob Smith and Larry Elder, they all deserve credit for what they're doing here. What they are doing is one of the most important things on the moral landscape to get black people to think for themselves. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, the nation's largest student movement dedicated to the principles of free markets and smaller government and American exceptionalism, go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless. Talk to you soon.